Because while you're seeking me, you're listening to me. And while you're listening to me, you're following me. And while you're following me, I'm leading you. And while I'm leading you, I am taking care of you. See, God will read your heart. And he'll say, you know, I know what you really need.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Do Not Be Anxious and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
All right, we're in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and today's sermon is, Do Not Be Anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will set your word upon our hearts. God, I pray that I will speak your words and not my own. In the name of Jesus and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. How many of you guys ever felt anxious about something? Where your next meal was going to come from? Where your next set of clothes was going to come from? Paying your rent so you don't get kicked out of your house? Anxiety about the necessities of life. Well, Jesus is telling us that we're not supposed to be anxious for those things. The word worry means to be anxious in these scriptures. And we're going to go over this today because I think a lot of us at time start to worry about the basic necessities. In these verses, Jesus is addressing the concerns his followers have over basic needs. Over basic needs. Make note that Christ is talking only to those who have faith in him in these verses. Non-believers need not apply. He will supply your needs if you trust him. We're talking about disciples. We're talking about Christians. Jesus was addressing those who trust in him. If you follow Jesus, you won't have to worry about your basic needs. The word worry here actually means anxious. And did you know that anxiety can cause ulcers, headaches, stomach aches, anger, bitterness, sleeplessness, and countless other illnesses? They're all caused by anxiety. When you start worrying about these basic needs and you start to dwell on them, you can get a lot of this stuff in combination or all of them, one or two. So God doesn't want us wasting all of our time and energy and health on our basic needs because he's going to supply them. So my first point is do not worry about necessities. Matthew 6:25 again says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So let's find out what Jesus is saying in this verse. In verse 25, Jesus tells us not to worry about our lives. Why? Because a Christian's life is no longer theirs, but belongs to God. God takes care of what's his, and you are his. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." He owns you. You were bought. Sin used to own you, but now God owns you. So he's going to take care of what's his. God made the world with plenty of food and drink for everyone who trusts in him. He will supply the basics of life for his followers. Christ is telling us not to be anxious for the basic needs of life. He is not telling us to be careless and foolish with them or with other things in life. Now, if you are foolish and careless with your stuff, you will lose it. You will go hungry. You could go homeless. But that wasn't God that did that. That was taking what he gave you and foolishly using it. So God will provide, but what you do with the provision is up to you. Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" If God gives you enough money to go rent a place and you get something you can't afford, whose fault is that? God promises to keep us fed, watered, and clothed. He will not let us suffer for those things. However, our plenty will impact the surplus of such needs. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I knew a guy that lived out of his car. He wasn't planting anything in the kingdom of God. But God gave him a place. He had a car. God could have allowed him to be on the street when it was really cold. But he had a car. He had food. He didn't have the place that he wanted. He didn't have the comforts that he desired. But God gave him provision. When we plant into the kingdom, we're storing up treasure in heaven. And so if you want more luxuries from God, start planting in the kingdom. Because all God is obligated to do is give you your basic needs. I know we live in a time where many people believe that something is owed to them for nothing. But you can't play God like that, right? So if you want something from God, you have to sow it into the kingdom. Other than that, you'll get your basic needs. If you want luxuries, start sowing some seed, right? If you want tomatoes, you got to plant them, don't you? You don't plant watermelon and hope for tomatoes, right? Galatians 6:7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Galatians 6:7. So if you want something, sow it. Number two, an example to follow. Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Birds don't save up for a rainy day. Last time I went to the bank, I didn't see any birds in line making any withdrawals. Seen them outside gathering up, though. They go about their day eating and collecting supplies to build their nest. They never worry about where their next need may come from. Animals are pretty carefree, aren't they? If the Father feeds the lesser of creation, he will do even more for us. Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?" Look, God cares about the animals. But if he cares about these animals that are so cheaply bought, how much more do you think he's going to care about you, a human being made in his image? Animals aren't like us. We love, we grieve, we get angry, we get happy. We're made in the image of God. He cares far more about us. Yet, he also cares for the sparrows. He knows what's going on in their lives. How much more do you think he's going to pay attention to your life? Working for our needs is not a sin, and Christ does not say we are not to work to make a living. Christ says we should not worry about making a living as we go about doing so. Verse 25, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? See, listen, you don't live to work. You work to live. If all you're doing is just worrying about working all the time, and that's all you ever do, you've forgotten about what God is trying to teach you about people. Time with people, loving people, spending time that's meaningful with people. Take a moment out of your day and spend some time with people. Don't just constantly try to think of something else you could do to make the next buck, to pay for something. Bless somebody. Don't just take all your money and say, well, I got to pay bills with this, and I got to do this for me and do that for me. Bless somebody. God will see what you're doing, and he will reward you for it. You won't go hungry feeding somebody else. I can promise you that. You won't go broke helping somebody else. You won't go without a car driving around somebody else. Jesus is also saying that we should not put our concerns for our needs ahead of what he asks us to do. So if God leads us, then he will supply us. So if God's got a ministry for you, and you're using the excuse that you don't have your basic needs, you're in the wrong business. Because God will supply where he leads. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When you're doing something that glorifies Jesus Christ, that God told you to do, all of your needs will be met to do what God has asked you to do. It just doesn't always look like he's doing it the way you would want him to do it or the way you think he should do it. But the job will get done if you trust him and just do it. Number three, what's the point? Matthew 6:27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Does worry accomplish anything? Worrying about something is not going to make it go away. You can think about it all night, wake up in the morning, it'll still be there. Won't change it or make it better. This is not to say we should not plan or to address our problems. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about being vigilant and taking care of what you need to take care of. But when something is out of your control and all you're doing is dwelling on it and worrying about it and you can't see a way out of it no matter how much you think about it, it's useless. It's actually doing the exact opposite. It's causing you stress. If God says, I've got a ministry for you and you know it in your heart, but it hasn't come yet, stop worrying about it. It'll come in his time. If God says, I have a new house for you, but it hasn't gotten here yet, stop worrying about it. It'll be here when it gets here because it'll be in the timing of God. When the Lord says, I've got somebody for you, that I want to bless you with somebody, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about it. He'll bring that person when you're ready for that person. When we worry, the problem becomes an idol because it consumes our speech, our thoughts, our actions, our time. Number four, Father knows best. Matthew 6:28-33 says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows you need this stuff. He's going to take care of those things. God already knows before you even ask what you need, when you need it, where you need it, why you need it, for how long you need it, and how much of it you need. Did you know that God will take things away from you to show you that you don't really need it? Did you know that God will trickle things away from you and give you less of it to show you that you didn't need that much of it? Did you know that God will take needs away because they weren't needs, they were desires? They made you feel safe. You put your trust in those things. So God wants to take them from you for a period of time. You won't starve, praise the Lord. He's not going to let that happen, believe me. But what he will do is he will give you what you need, when you need it, where you need it, why you need it, for how long you need it, and how much of it you need. He is the great distributor. Most of the time, our needs are really wants. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions." God doesn't want to give you stuff just so that you can lust over it and have passion over it and make it into an idol so that you will serve it rather than him, so that you will point it out to people rather than God. God will never give you all you think you want. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get everything that you want, because people do it all the time. But God is not going to give you what you think you want, but he will give you everything you need to survive and to do his will. He will never supply you to do your own will. Who supplies you to do your own will? You crave these things. You think you need those things. And Satan will make sure you get those things that you don't need. Satan will make sure that you get the things that will hurt you. Satan will make sure that you get the things that are so abundant that you'll stop trusting God and start trusting those things instead. The life of the believer is in the hands of God. So to worry means to not trust him, O you of little faith. When you run around not trusting God, he's saying you got little faith. And you know what happens when you don't have much faith in God taking care of your needs? You worry. And worry brings ideas into our heads, and it opens our hearts to other people's ideas and ungodly counsel. Because now you have no faith in God, so you're looking to the world for answers. Now, the world is a dead end. The world is passing away and everything in it. God's going to come back and wipe the slate clean. What are you going to have when that happens? All your false securities? Gone. Oh, you of little faith. So again, the life of the believer is in the hands of God. So to worry means not to trust him. If God says, I got this, and you're not trusting him, and you're worrying about it, your faith is in question. Oh, Pastor, I don't do that. I pray and I leave it to God. Okay, well, ask yourself what you're doing while you're waiting on God. You see, we'll pray, not get an answer, and then we'll do something to pacify ourselves until the answer comes. It's easy to praise God when you just got a big paycheck in the mail. It's easy to praise God. Have you ever heard, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a big tax return this year. Woohoo. Hallelujah. Somebody just gave me $50. Hallelujah. I just found $100 on the floor. That's easy. What about when God says, wait for the provision? What about when God says, hold on, I'm coming? What do we do in the meantime that shows that we have faith or not? That's your answer. I don't have it for you. You have to ask yourself, when you're waiting on God, what are you doing? Because what you're doing could be delaying the answer from God. Yep, you could be holding yourself back and not even know it. When we don't have trust in God, we don't do the things God tells us to do. So if you pray for something and God says, well, go do this and do that and do that, and you don't have faith and you don't do it, you sit right where you are. And God will sit right next to you. I'm here with you. Yeah, but I need you to help me. Well, I told you to go over there. But I don't believe that if I go over there, anything will happen. Cast your net on the other side. Oh, but we've been working all night. We didn't catch a thing. But Peter did it anyways. And he caught the fish. And he was an experienced fisherman. And he knew in his mind that nothing was going to work to catch those fish. But he also knew in his heart that if he listened to Jesus, he would catch the fish. So did he listen to his mind or did he listen to his heart? He listened to Jesus, and he got the blessing. But when we don't, we have little faith. Number five, the solution to worry. See, it's not all bad. We've got a remedy for this. I love the Bible. It tells you your problem. It tells you how to fix it. Amen? Don't we want to fix ourselves? You know we can't. Only God can fix us. That's why we need his word. It's like the wrench and the screwdriver to fix the parts that are loose on us, to tighten them up to make us more Christ-like. And that's our goal, right? That's why we come to church, right? To praise God and to be what? Made more Christ-like through the word. Faith comes by hearing. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Above all, reach for Jesus. Reach in everything you do, say, and think. As you reach for Jesus, the Father will set you on a path of blessings. Jesus is who you're supposed to be following. If you're not following Jesus, who are you following? If you're not following Jesus, you're following someone else, whether it be you or somebody else, but you're not following Jesus and you're going to go off the path. And when you're not following Jesus, you're not being led by Jesus. And when you're not being led by Jesus, you are not being blessed by God the Father. Because it is through Jesus we reach God the Father. So if we're not following Jesus, we're not heading towards God at all. We're heading towards the world. And the world has nothing to offer but death. The blessings are not out there. They're right here with Jesus. The kingdom of Christ speaks. The kingdom Christ speaks of is fellowship with God the Father. Seek that first through Jesus. You see, sin separated us from God. There's no way for us to get back to him. There's a great barrier called sin between us and God. But the righteousness of Christ clothes us so that we can be in the presence of God. Have you ever been in a place where you had to wear a badge to get in? Heaven is that place. If you want to approach God and you want to talk to him, you got to have the Jesus card. You don't show the Jesus card at the gate, you don't get to talk to God the Father. He doesn't listen to people who don't have the Jesus badge. So when you have the Jesus badge, you are actually clothed in the righteousness of the Father, and he sees purity in you. But people don't seek that today. People don't seek that. They seek the things of the world. Matthew 6, 25 through 34, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, while you're praising God, while you're reading your Bible, while you're blessing other people, while you're following Jesus, God is arranging things to bless you because you're no longer worried about all of those things that you think you want. See, God will read your heart. He'll say, you know, I know what you really need. See, what the thing that you thought you needed isn't exactly what you really needed. See, there's a problem deep down inside of you, and I know what will fix it, and I'm going to bring it to you. Because while you're seeking me, you're listening to me. And while you're listening to me, you're following me. And while you're following me, I'm leading you. And while I'm leading you, I am taking care of you. The moment God isn't leading you is the moment you strayed away like that little lamb, and you're doing your own thing. And you get further and further away from the pack. I've said this before, Terry and I like to watch a lot of nature programs. And it's so sad when the little animals get away from the flock. They always go after the weak ones. The little sheep that get away from the rest of the flock and the shepherd. Then the wolf comes along and says, ooh, see, I can't mess with all of these guys. But this guy up here, away from the pasture and the flock, he's all alone. And there's no one here to protect him. And while I'm attacking him, he's so far away from the other sheep, they won't even hear him screaming and yelling for help. When you step away from God, you step away from the provision of God. And then you start praying, Lord, what happened? What do you mean, what happened? Where have you been? Well, you see that field over there? The grass looked really green over there. Appearances can be fooling. Something looks good, and we, I sure do like this better than church. I think I'm going to consume it instead of the Word of God. Fill myself up with TV programs that are evil, and talk about ungodly things, and listen to music that makes me want to dance and boogie, boogie, boogie. Right? The righteousness Jesus talks about in verse 33 is your salvation through him. We are cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus. By him alone are we made righteous. By taking on Christ, we take on the righteousness of the Father. You can't impress God with your good deeds. That's not righteousness to him. You can give to this church or any other charity you want to till the day you die in abundance, and that will not impress God. Trusting him through Jesus Christ is the only way you're going to impress God. You want to get right with God? Get right with Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the righteous one. In verse 34, we are told to deal with our troubles one day at a time. You know why? Because no one knows the future. No one knows the future. You can sit up all night long and worry about something. Something's going to happen. Then the phone rings the next day, and it didn't happen. You got the good news. Or you could worry about it, and all your worries come true anyways. Right? The worry still didn't help, did it? And it stole your time with God. I can't read my Bible. My whole world's falling apart. Oh, I can't listen to the preacher, man. My whole world's falling apart. Don't you see how I'm worried? You know, when we worry, we want to deal with it. I just want this problem to go away. But if the problem won't go away, I'll make the feeling go away. So I'll do something that makes me feel good. I don't care what it is. In conclusion, three times in these verses, Jesus tells us not to be anxious. Three times. He repeats it three times. Why? Well, it's important. Two, we don't listen very good. You ever have to tell somebody over and over and over because they don't listen? And then you run around going, I told you so. Jesus wants us to be focused on who? Him. Not ourselves or our problems. Start focusing on Jesus today.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.